So when our daughter was a tiny baby, I would walk her up and down the street quite often. I'd carry her in a little backpack or bicycle her in a trailer. And it was winter one day, I remember, about 24 below, and we were doing errands on Main Street. And at almost every shop, a woman would come out and she'd say, "You get that baby in out of the cold! That is too cold for that baby! You don't be walking around at 24 below with a baby in a backpack!" And I just remember so all these stories about the baby in town, because other people in the summer, when I'd be walking with her in the trailer, on the bike, or walking with a carriage, or in the backpack, people would come up all the time, and they knew that we were in the Basque community, in a Basque family. And they would say, "Oh, she's so beautiful, and she just looks so Basque." Well, of course, there's no Basque blood in her. I mean, she's culturally growing up in a Basque American community, but there's no genetics of Basque, because Simon, her grandfather, was Margot's stepfather. But I love that people would just say that. She's so Basque.
Well, and I remember when the ladies all yelled at you about it being so cold, you were so mad at them because you knew how to take care of your baby. But I remember thinking, well, it's kind of nice to live in a community where everybody watches out for everyone. And the first time Caitlin wanted to walk to my mom's house by herself. It's just two blocks. She was 5 years old, and she really wanted to walk by herself. And so I said she could, and I kind of spied on her until she was out of sight. My mother was spying on her from the other end. It's just two blocks, you know. And she said all these people came out of their houses and asked her if she was okay. She said, "I know I'm not supposed to talk to strangers, but people kept coming out and saying, 'Are you okay?'"
I mentioned just briefly that my own childhood was not a happy one, with a father who was not really equipped to be a very good father. And Margaret is told how funny it is that her stepfather, Simon, was in some ways maybe a little difficult guy too for Margaret and her brother, Mike. But when I came along as a young adult moving here, he was a fantastic father. He took me under his wing, and he took me kind of into ranching. Now, it's also important to know that I came here as a poet, not exactly a sort of central economic function in Wyoming life. Yes.
And not only a poet, but a vegetarian poet.
Oh, yes, a vegetarian poet.
That's even worse.
Oh, and there was another, there was worse than that. There was the vegetarian communist poet.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to Wyoming. And so I was held, there was a little suspicion about my presence in the life of this young woman, Margot Brown. But Simon took me kind of into working with him. And so I became, because I was younger and could spend a lot more time scrambling and climbing, did windmill maintenance. When I first came here, the 4 Mile Ranch had 19 working windmills to bring water to the surface for stock, right? Watering cows or sheep. Sheep was just kind of at the tail end when I came here, and it was more cattle. But I simply spent a lot of time up on windmill towers, 30 to 50 feet in the air, with a belt like a bosun's kind of chair in sailing, hanging off the back of this windmill, trying to uncrank things with one hand and push on something else, and covered with grease. And the platforms were always greasy from a lot of windmills throw oil. They're not really built with great gaskets in some of the joint parts, so oil gets thrown and it's a mess. Worked with him a lot, and he came to feel really strongly, I think, that he might be a poet and a communist and a vegetarian, but he can work.
He really respected you.
And I found that to be a really big part of life here. I remember feeling as though it was kind of the old joke about, well, you may be a poet, but if you can fix fence, you're okay. It's fine. And people didn't care. And that seems to me a central part of one of the most positive aspects of Wyoming life, which is a sense of live and let live that I understand to be really important in our history. And if we want to get along in small communities where you know everyone and you may not necessarily agree with your neighbor on social or political issues, but you're going to be in close contact all the time. And so suddenly it was like work was a bond.
I loved working at the ranch, mostly because I loved horses so much. And he always called me his top hand, and I would go out whenever. The first time I rode with him, when I got on Black Dynamite, we rode, he said we probably rode 25 miles that day, because we'd ride the cabin, from the cabin to the river was 7 miles, and we ride this giant pasture and got all the sheep. And I remember thinking I could ride forever, even though my knees hurt and I would get tired. I loved horses so much, I could just do that forever. We were in this big pasture, and all my cousins and everyone was riding, they were riding the perimeters and bringing sheep from all over to the center, and I was supposed to head them towards the corrals. And they were very wild because they weren't used to people, and they ran over a whole bunch of hills ahead of me. And at some point, they got too far ahead, and I couldn't find them. I was hysterical. I was crying and hunting for the sheep, and my Uncle Johnny came, and I said to him, "I can't find my sheep." And he was so kind. He just said, "Oh, little Bo Peep lost her sheep, huh?" And he went, and of course, it's hard to lose several thousand sheep, and he found them.
That's a great idea. I lost them. It's really hard to lose
sheep. But I'm pretty good at losing things. So he found the sheep for me, and I was so grateful to him. Another time I rode a horse, Jigs. I rode him into a bog. And the cows had crossed this bog. We had this reservoir. And I couldn't figure out where to cross it, but I saw cow tracks across. And so I thought, well, I guess I have to cross it here. And I crossed it, and the horse went up to his shoulders in mud and was stuck and couldn't get out. I stood up, walked across his back, and leaped to the shore and started yelling. When the family came, they had to get a horse, a couple horses, rope him and pull him out. And my mom said the saddle was so covered with mud and muck that smelled so bad that our basement smelled bad for months because she'd cleaned it and put it down there. It was
That's
really,
pretty intense.
And then I heard later that the cows have, because their hooves are cloven, they can cross where horses can't. So that was
a good thing to learn after it happened, isn't
it? And poor Jigs, he never trusted me again.